Father God, we just come to you this morning. We just thank you for all that you've already done in our hearts. We thank you, Father, for the work, Father, that's been done just as the believers have gathered together and shared with one another and cared for one another, Lord, and lifted up the name of Jesus. And Lord, today we lift up the name of Jesus even more, and we ask you, Lord, to let your word come upon our ears and in our hearts. Father, let us become doers of the word that we hear. Father, let the words that I speak, Father, be words of truth and words, Father, of revelation from you. And Lord, let our ears hear that which you would have us to hear, Lord. Father, let us begin to walk in a wholeness and oneness as a son and a daughter of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you would, turn to Matthew 6. And I'm going to just concentrate on one part of it for today. And in this, I want you to realize that he never intended the Lord's Prayer to just be something that we just repeated emptily and in the same words. That wasn't the function of what he intended it. He intended it to be a protocol. A protocol, basically a method of communication between us and him. The way, just the same as two, if you've ever picked up a modem, you've ever heard a modem or a fax, and you hear all that, you pick up the handset and hear all that and all that stuff. It's a method. It's a protocol. That's what they call that communication that goes on there. And he expected this to be a protocol between us and him. And I'm kind of stalling because I'm having this thing going on inside. So in the setting, that's what I wanted to convey, is just the setting behind this. Because it's not just a prayer. It's supposed to be a way of life. It's supposed to be a method for life. And in that, earlier I spoke of Isaiah 61. And it said there's the devastations or the desolations of past generations. Much of what we do is really not so much based on what's happening right now in this moment, but things have happened in the past. Sometimes in our parents' past, sometimes in our grandparents' past, sometimes in our own past. And one of the things I want to begin to focus on today is realizing that when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, the old man that we were also becomes part of that past. Now, there's a place, there's a time that we have to begin to assimilate that. We have to begin to cultivate that and begin to realize that those things are given to us as a positional truth, but we have to inherit it. We have to walk in that inheritance. And I just wanted to just basically from that standpoint then just say that yesterday probably wasn't one of my better days because some things happened that disappointed me greatly. And as a result, I began to fall into a past pattern, an old pattern, and an old habit. One of the things that I positionally know that I'm supposed to have broken off. But my son had a task, and then he didn't follow through on his task and didn't complete it, which caused me to have to pick up the slack, bringing great disappointment to me as well as great inconvenience. And see, as such, I began to rehearse the situation in my mind just over and over and over. And how do you resolve this? How do you do this? How do you do that? How do you bring it into proper perspective? Tom and I discussed that spanking him was probably out since he outweighs me by about 60 pounds. And that's probably not a good choice. He's about 2 inches taller, 3 inches taller than I am. And so that's probably not going to work. But it was a good thought anyway. But see, begin to realize that this pattern that our family's in is a result of a pattern that was in me. It's a result of a pattern that was in my life. It's not what I'm currently living, but it's what I had lived. And I had to take ownership of that. Because see, this thing that he's involved in is as much my responsibility as his. Because of the way we've done things in the past. And I had to take ownership of that. And began to realize that much of what goes on and how I react was more based on the past than it was on the present. I have to take ownership. I had to realize there's a part of this that's my responsibility. In other words, this happened. Him being the irresponsible in the way that he was, when basically there was a project that had to be done and had to be completed in a timely manner, comes as a result, in part, I can tell you, of our lack of proper consistency in his upbringing as far as discipline, and also a lack on my part of patience, because when he was little and we would have a project, something that I was doing, I did not have the patience it took to let him be a part of those things at that point, because I had to complete, you know, I was very project oriented, goal oriented, and I had to complete that project. I had to get it done now and get it done as fast as I could possibly get it done, which didn't allow time to have little boys in there kind of messing with things. That's a big mistake. See, when they're little, they're so impressionable. And when you push them away, no matter how well-intentioned it is, it leaves a scar. And the reality is, if I could go back and do it over again, I would embrace them, and I would take, if it took 10 days longer to get the project done, I would take those 10 days. Because there's nothing more precious than my family. But I didn't know that. And I can't change that now. So those are the patterns that I was talking about. Those were the patterns. And I had to take ownership of that, meaning that I had to realize that some portion of this that goes on today was because of who I was yesterday. And the things that had happened in my life and the things that I caused in their lives as a result. So thank you for the question. Taking ownership of it doesn't mean that I'm going to hang on to it any longer, but I have to acknowledge it before my Lord and my Savior. Because in that process of acknowledging it, then I can come to a place of true repentance for those things. I can't repent of something that I don't acknowledge exists. So I have to acknowledge it and repent of it and then begin to ask Him for His grace to deal with it. And last night at the altar, I was calling out for His grace to deal with it, because I began to see the whole pattern in front of me. And that's where I wanted to pick up today, because last night I began to see a vision. And in this vision, there was this hideous creature that jumped up on this person's shoulders and just began to just grab a hold of their head and their mind. And in this, there was no way for that person to shake it off. And I began to come against it. I began to pray against this thing. But nothing was happening. And after a short while, I began to realize that's not what God's looking for. And about that moment that I began to realize that's not what He's looking for, Jesus shows up in the scene and He says, just wait. And as I begin to wait, He just walks up and He just touches the forehead of this person. And immediately the shell that was around that person, representing the old man, just split in half and fell away. And there was no longer anywhere for that devil to have a hold of. And he disappeared. And as I began to watch this new man, as he began to emerge into a newness of life, he began to transform into a graduate with the full cap and gown like you would see at high school graduation. We have to graduate from those things of the past. And you're going, how's this related to the Lord's Prayer? Well, yeah, in part. It's related to verse 13, which says, Matthew 6, verse 13, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, sometimes we've used this verse, and I've seen it preached. If we don't pray against it, God's going to lead us into temptation. That's not consistent with the heart of God. That's not who our God is. So therefore, knowing that, I knew automatically that it's not consistent with who God is. I knew automatically that I didn't have to listen to that part of it, and I could begin searching for a different answer. Because that's not the nature of our God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Psalms 5:4, verse 4, says evil does not dwell with him. So if evil doesn't dwell with him, how could he lead us into temptation? There's nowhere for him to lead us to. John 17:15 says Jesus prays to keep them from the evil one. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 And 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 all have expressed the same idea, to keep us from the evil one. So he's not leading us into temptation. So what is he saying? Well, one man that I highly respect, Dave Roberson, says it this way. He says it should have read like this. Lead us around temptations and the snares of the enemy. Now see, that begins to make more sense. You know, he'll teach us to go around the snares, to go around the temptations. He'll teach us to see them before they actually get to us. And that is much more consistent with who our God is. Because see, he'll tell Israel for hundreds and hundreds of years, there's the problem, see it. Before they ever entered into the promised land, he was saying, here's the problem, see it. Those people, don't mix with them. Don't begin to engage their women. Don't begin to engage their men. Be ye holy, choose life. He began to see and speak of the solutions even before they knew the problem. We have to realize that like in 2 Peter 2 and 9, he says, the God knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. He took Lot out of Sodom, Gomorrah, and removed him from that destruction that was about to come upon those cities. He rescued those who are righteous. He knows how to rescue you. When you begin to put your heart on righteousness, you begin to stand in the righteousness that he has placed within you. He will rescue you out of that which is ungodly. Proverbs is full of ways to stay out of temptation. I'm going to address those in another time. In Mark 14 and 38, it says, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, the temptation he was obviously speaking here wasn't what we normally consider temptation. Normally we kind of looked at temptation as being like a lust or a vice or something of that nature. But what he was speaking about here was a pattern of fear that was in their lives. Because he was speaking, for example, he's spoken specifically of Peter, that you'll deny me three times. Because he knew of the fear that was in Peter's life. Peter and John both followed Jesus after he was arrested, and they followed him into the synagogue, into the court. But they wouldn't identify themselves for fear. And what God was speaking to them is that he wanted to break that cycle of fear. He wanted to break that off of their lives. He wanted to bring them to a place of beginning to realize who he was in them to such an extent that they no longer walked. He wanted to bring them so forth, the love of God so much forth in his heart that they would realize he was greater in them than all the circumstance. So temptation is not just a lust or a vice. It's a testing. It's a state of unrest and a state of disbelief. It was defined in the dictionary this way, something that may seduce you to go against the will of God. Something that may seduce you to go against the will of God. When we begin to define it like that, lots of things become a temptation that we didn't even realize. Sometimes even good things can be a temptation. When you begin to seek out ministry more than you seek out the Lord Jesus, you're already in temptation. When you begin to seek out a spouse or your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or anything else more than you do Jesus, you're already in a temptation. Just want to make sure to keep it relevant. Hallelujah. So back to this, the vision and what occurred to spark it. I was dwelling on the problem. And when I begin to dwell on the problem and I begin to rehearse that problem, there's nothing of God in it. Because it creates this agitation in me. And it makes me come not a very nice person. And I have to realize that was a cycle. And yesterday I even knew it was occurring. And I was having a difficulty coming to a grip with it. And that's why he began to move in me this way. Because I don't want to be that way. Those things are, I call them leftovers. They're leftovers from what I used to be. And I don't know, I mean, you know, lots of people may eat leftovers, but it's not my favorite deal, okay? I don't want leftovers. Unless it's something really good, I don't want leftovers. Hallelujah. It was a pattern in the family because it was a pattern first in me. So there was a time where I was taking this verse, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I was meditating it and meditating it and meditating. I was just saying it to myself over and over and just holding it up before the Lord. And Lord, what does this mean? Because I'm not satisfied with the answers that I see. You're trying to convey to me. And I heard this. It said, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. And I knew where that was. So I turned to that scripture and it's in Hebrews 3 verse 8. And Hebrews 3 and 8 says, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And I said, ah, now I see. Because what God was setting before me was that there in that point in time when he said in the temptation, they understood the temptation to be that time that they were wandering in the desert. They understood that to be a wilderness experience. And when we begin to look at the word temptation as that wilderness experience, that time of unbelief, the time of rebellion and provocation before the God, a holy God, then that begins to change the context of what we're looking at. See, all those things, when we see the unbelief, when we see rebellion, when we see all those things that they were walking in the desert and in the wilderness, those are all things that keep us from entering in. Those are all manifestations of the old man. That shell that had to fall off, those were the things that were in that shell. They couldn't enter in because they did not know his ways. If you just jump down to verse 10, it says that he did not know his ways. His ways aren't part of the new nature. I mean, his ways are part of the new nature, not the old nature. I said it backwards. So then I gave it some more thought and I began to realize, and if you would just keep a thumb in Matthew 6 and turn over to Romans 8. I began to realize that God gave us a gift. Romans 8 and verse 14 said, those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So this combined with the fact that they couldn't enter in because of their unbelief. They couldn't enter in because of their rebellion. They couldn't enter in because of their sin nature. But those who would be led by the Spirit of God, these get to become sons of God. Those not only enter in, they become fully part of the family. So what God was saying here in this prayer, lead us not into temptation, was lead us not according to the ways of the old man. Lead us not according to the ways of the old nature. And when he said, but deliver us from evil, he was saying, lead us not according to the ways of the old man and the old nature, but lead us by your Spirit. Lead us by our new nature, that Spirit of life that's within us, that Spirit that looks and sounds and smells like Christ within us. That's what he wants us to lead by. Because a new nature is within each one of us. There's a new overcomer within each one of us. And in that overcoming, he can begin to address the issues and that surround your life. He can begin to split off the shell of the old man and let the new man emerge. As we step into that new nature, as we step into that Christ nature that was within us, we come into that graduation. We have a new nature that's programmed with the DNA of God. Our spirit is like His Spirit. When we begin to assert that, when we begin to compare that to the strength of the flesh, it's not even a comparison. But we have to realize it's within us. Last night I was here and during the worship, I began to feel the change. As I began to let these things dawn within me, I began to feel the life of Christ swell up. I began to be aware of the kingdom of God within and the light shining from it, touching everyone around me. There's a life that's in you that will transform everyone else in this place. That's why it's so powerful when we begin to come into a circle, because the life of Christ that's in you begins to touch the one who's standing next to you, and it's touching the one who's standing next to them, and touching the one who's standing next to them. And there's a circle of light that begins to be formed. There's a circle of life that begins to go up, and there's a praise that happens in the middle of that light. In that place, I began to realize I don't have to go there anymore. I began to realize that God has a plan, and I began to realize the answer was as simple as a prayer. Instead of being contentious, He just wants me and my wife to come together and say a prayer. Because then there's the things that I was needing in that moment. I was needing that affirmation that someone was with me. But see, that I can't expect that to come from her. It's got to come from God. And in that moment, there's that closeness, and there's that reminder of who God is. And there's a reminder of Him and His presence. And no longer do I have to feel powerless in that situation, but I can feel empowered because of His life. Because now we are actively doing something to change the situation. We're coming into a unity that changes the situation. Hallelujah. We have a positional standing. It's up to us to appropriate it. Look at verse 15. For you've not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons. Verse 21, we're set free from slavery of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Verse 26, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Not only does the Holy Spirit intercede for us, but Jesus Himself intercedes for us. And when we begin to recognize the power of that, we're recognizing the power that transformed Peter's life. In the same way that he went from a person who denied God three times to being one of the transformational leaders of the new movement, he became one of the people that God and God knew that he could count on. But first he had to go through that testing and that sifting. First, he had to go into and step into the graduation of the new nature. And when he did, everything changed. Verse 28 says, when we love him, he works all things for your good. But we have to know that we're loving him. We have to know that we're actually moving into that direction. And that we're allowing him, even in the sometimes the ugly things that happen, he can begin to turn it and change it, and allow us to learn something from it. Verse 32, Romans 8, says He freely gives us all things. He freely gives us all things. We just call out for that grace to be led by that new nature. We call out in this prayer, that's what you're doing, is you're calling out for that grace to be led by that new nature, a nature that knows who God is. A nature that has already seen and conquered because it laid it at God's feet, at Jesus' feet. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We need to recognize the events in our life. Recognize the cycles for what they are. And be honest with ourselves. Am I constantly being led into fear here? Am I constantly being led into temptation there? Recognize the cycle and take responsibility for it. When you said about ownership, it's taking responsibility for it, not laying it off. It's not my mama's fault. It's not my daddy's fault. It's my fault because I haven't changed it yet. And when I begin to take responsibility for it, then I can truly repent. I can truly lay it upon the throne and let Jesus deal with it. All of us have areas in our lives that we're still working through, that we're still overcoming. But we can see from the Word of God that He intends for us to overcome. That He intends for us to walk in the freedom, to walk in the revelation of who He is, to walk in the revelation of His love, and for that love to be ever increasing each and every day. For us to walk in a greater revelation of His love every day. And that requires that we walk in a greater revelation of what He's done. And we can only do that if we acknowledge where we've been. So we can quit being there and go somewhere new. Hallelujah. And there's something wonderful that happens if you'll turn to 2 Timothy 2 and 24. As we begin to allow God to move into our life. And we allow Him to bring forth His truth and His healing in these areas. It gives Him an opportunity to use us. So 2 Timothy 2. Verse 24. And it says, the Lord's bondservant. Who's the Lord's bondservant? Do I see hands everywhere? All right. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So, Lord, as we step into our destiny, Lord, you're giving us the ability and the authority, Father, to stand there for another, that they can step into their destiny. Lord, that they can see the things that are manifested in our life, Lord, and no longer would be the things of the enemy, but the things of you. Lord, that we step out of the old nature and into the new creature. All the things of the past are forgotten. And Lord, that we're stepping into a life, Lord, that reflects you. And as we do so, Lord, we're affecting a nation. As we do so, we're affecting a kingdom. And we're bringing your kingdom home. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to bring your kingdom home into this place. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Thank you, my Jesus. But my wife says she knows where to end this one.
Since he's up here having to tell the truth, I guess I do too. I didn't make it to church last night. And I have to say that it was because I went to the old place that I used to go when he went to his old place and pushed my buttons and I went to my place. And that place is to run and hide and kind of disconnect myself, because nothing can hurt me when I wall myself up. I've done it in the past, and I just swore, I promised God I would never do that to him again. And, we're human and we make mistakes, but I immediately had to ask him for forgiveness last night because I put that in front of him and in front of my love for him. Our oldest son had gotten into some issues back when he was still in high school. And the person I knew within 2 weeks was different, totally changed. And we ended up having to send him to go live with my sister. And about broke my heart. I mean, that's a tough thing for a mom, you know. And at that point, the enemy, I let him come in, and he was whispering in my ear, "Well, see what happens when you pursue God." Because we were at church all the time. I mean, that was right after we got saved. And if church was open, we were there. And that's what, the enemy sat on my shoulder and blah, 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 you know. "You're at church every time it was open. See, what kind of mother are you? You're not even home to watch your kids." And they were with us a lot of the time, but not all the time. And when I put myself behind that wall, I kept people out and I kept pain out, but I kept him out. And I didn't even know I'd done it. And one day, was when we were still back in the upper room, the first place HRC held services. And he gave me a miracle and restored my relationship. And I had seen this vision of myself just kind of enclosed in a big ice block. And it, for those of you who remember Scooby-Doo, it reminds me of a Scooby-Doo cartoon where there was some kind of caveman, I think, enclosed in ice. And that's kind of what I looked like, in this vision. And I saw the Lord reach down and touch that ice. And it went... and it shattered. And that restored my relationship and my fervor and my desire to be close to him. And then, a little while later, a few years later, I ended up having to send my second son to go live with my sister-in-law. And that whole thing came back on me again. I wanted to run and hide. And I persevered through that one. So each time, it gets a little shorter, the period of time I let it affect me. And last night I was immediately repenting for putting something before my love for him. So the cycles continue to happen. We're people and we're affected by that. But we can understand what they are, and they are what they are. And just push them away and pursue him above all else.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So the cycle has moved from a few years to a few months to a few hours. As we begin to appropriate more and more of what the victory that God has already destined for us. Soon, the cycle will be broken entirely because the desolations of past generations are broken off. And I speak that over each and every one of you and your families, that the desolations of past generations, including that old man that you used to be, those things are broken off now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak forth your authority to go over these people, over these families, over these lives, and those desolations of past generations, those things, those devastations that have happened in the past, that are broken off and their effects are broken off. Lord, that we are beginning to rise up, Father, in the wholeness of the new man. That we're rising up in the wholeness of the new man today. Today we make a choice, Lord. Today we choose to follow you. And we choose to hear your voice. Thank you, Lord, for being a holy God before us. Desiring us in spite of everything else that we've done, Lord. You desire us. You desire us, Lord. And you made a way for us. And Lord, we thank you for that way. We thank you that we can walk in that way and in the fullness, Lord, of your victory, the fullness of your overcoming, the fullness of what that blood, that powerful blood, purchased for us. In Jesus' name.